Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network. Pro football full circle.
Me given the opportunity, I will be able to show people that, you know, age is nothing but a number. Nobody has ever done it. Nobody has been given the opportunity to do it. And for all the naysayers and pundits to say, oh, well, he can't do it. He's, you know, he's washed up, this and that and the other. First of all, I'm not washed up. Never really just been given the opportunity to play. Given the right opportunity, put in the right situation. You think about third down, you think about red zone to get myself in shape. Then, yes, there's no doubt 100% that I can play in the National Football League today.
And we're off and running on today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, breaking down all the NFL preseason action, talking about training camps. A lot to get to today. We had the game last night in terms of New England and the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts did not play. Cam Newton and the Patriots stepped up for a dominating 35-0 win. But breaking news in New York, we talked about the New York Jets and Zach Wilson on the offensive side of the ball all week long, and now that defense suffers a huge blow with Carl Lawson rupturing his Achilles tendon. He'll be lost for the season. A big blow to this Jets defense. And more importantly, now with his absence, can this team really get to 6 wins in your opinion this year, George?
They couldn't get to it before the injury. This is a brutal blow. Lawson was having a fantastic offseason. He was going to be their main pass rusher. Right now, he's not going to play this season. He's gone. It's the second year in a row when you think about that. Saleh, the head coach of the Jets, has lost his best pass rusher. Lost Bosa last year for the 49ers for the season, and now he's lost Lawson. He's got to be like, what? You know, WTF, what's going on here? So a brutal blow to the Jets. Listen, I didn't think they could get to their over total before the injury. Now I certainly don't think they'll get any, I don't know if they'll get anywhere near close. He might have been the one player on defense they could least afford to lose.
Yeah, now Bryce Huff, who's a player out of Memphis, looks to get some time to try and win that job. But this is a Jets team as a whole last year. 16 total games, 31 sacks, ranked 20th in the NFL, about 1.9 sacks per game. They're going to need a better effort. And Lawson was one of those players that this defense counted on, right? He came from Cincinnati, 5.5 sacks last year, back in 2018 and 2019, also had another 5, so 10.5 sacks over the last couple of seasons. We'll see how they do this now, because if your offense can't convert and the defense is out there for extended periods of time, they're going to start to wear down. And that's the biggest thing now with a new coaching staff, a new regime. You want to instill a physicality and intensity. This isn't a way to get it done. So we'll see what transpires. The other thing as well, and I know we didn't really touch on it earlier during the week, but, you know, Zach Wilson in that game last week did have a good quarterback to wide receiver relationship with Corey Davis. Your thoughts about Corey Davis, because this is a player that didn't live up to expectations, George, in terms of Western Michigan moving on to Tennessee. He was the odd man out. Could we expect a breakout year from Corey Davis this year, or you think it's just, you know, preseason, you know, in full stride right now?
Oh, I don't think you can expect a breakout year with a rookie quarterback, one who's really just learning, literally learning on the job here. Not a great running game, not a great tight end here. I think he'll get his hit more than his share of targets. You know, I think he'll be trailing most games. They're going to throw the ball an awful lot. So if you want, if you're going by definition of career year, he'd have to get over 1,000 yards, right? Because last year he had 65 catches, 984, 5 touchdowns. So those, and that was his career year last year. So you have to beat that. 65 catches? Okay, I'll give you that. I think he'll get over that, assuming he stays healthy. 1,000 yards? You know, Joe, maybe you're right. Maybe he will. Because you're not asking for much in a, once again, in a 17-game season. We're not asking for much at all to get over 1,000 yards. Touchdowns, I think, might be tough. He's not really a touchdown guy, and I don't know how many touchdown passes that he's going to throw here. So, you know, I guess to answer your question, sure, because I think the volume would be there. Once again, get over 1,000 yards, you're talking 59 yards a game. I don't think he'll do it by much. And if there was a prop, I certainly wouldn't be betting on it. But sure, as far as the definition of a career year, I think he'll beat his numbers. Maybe he gets, you know, low 70s in catches, barely over 1,000 yards, somewhere around the 5 touchdowns, but nothing special.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Jets total right now under and over is set at 6 wins at minus 115 in terms of the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you want to go under, it's minus 105. If you want to take a shot on the New York Jets, I lean to the under for this coming season. We saw the game the other night with New England and Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts, stomach issues, missed the game. He was in warm-ups, goes in terms of the hospital. He's okay. He'll be okay for the week one season. But you saw Cam Newton in that offense step up, and we saw Joe Flacco. We know what Joe Flacco is, George. Just an abysmal performance. Give me your thoughts about what you saw the other night in terms of New England and Philadelphia, because honestly, if this is status quo for the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm selling them way under their 6.5 total in 2021.
Yeah, I think it was a little stunning about Hurts, right? You know, we heard Carver during the news break there that, you know, he had a stomach infection. Listen, about a half hour before the game, he was running around out there. He was fine. Then all of a sudden, boom, he's got a stomach infection. He's in the hospital. He's only going to be out of practice for a couple of days. There's nothing serious there, but it was still stunning. So maybe that hit the team as well here, and they were worried about him. I don't know. But they were terrible. They were terrible here.
Unreal for the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of people still buying into this team's 6.5 win total. Juice to the over on FanDuel at minus 150. I don't care about Devontae Smith. I don't care. I'm going under this coming season. When we come back, we'll get you prepared for all these weekends preseason games. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, talking about all the upcoming games this preseason and this weekend. Some solid battles, George, I must admit. We have Baltimore trying to set a record with John Harbaugh and the crew. They're on the road as a 3.5 point favorite against Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers on FanDuel right now. 110 either way. If you like Baltimore to rebound, they trailed the Saints in that ball game and found a way to respond for the 3-point victory and cover, by the way. That line was only 2.5 last week. Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston failed to convert, and Ian Book as well, that played very well in the fourth quarter to pull out that victory over the Ravens. They're on the road against Carolina. This is a pretty good matchup because Matt Rhule doesn't like to lose. I got to be honest with you. And he does not want to set even a preseason record for John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens in this matchup. I actually think they're going to come to play in this ballgame, catching 3.5 points. I like them. I also like them plus 165 on the money line in this ballgame. Total is a little low. Now, this is the one thing. 5 touchdowns between these teams. It's set at 35.5, minus 110 either way, under or over. I would lean to the under, but Carolina played very well against Indianapolis last week.
They did. Gave some points late in that game here. I read it the same way as you. I think Rhule does care. Maybe not as much as Harbaugh, but I think he does care. He's not going to lie down. Like, I don't care. It's a preseason game. Beat me. I think he'd like to upset him. I think he'd like the upside of it, end that little streak here. I don't see how you can't bet on Baltimore right now. I can't bet on Carolina to win the game. I'm going to go with Baltimore, go with their streak. Who's going to ride the trend here? That being said, I don't think it'll be an easy one. You know, and it certainly wouldn't be a large amount of cash on my part there. As for the over-under, I kind of think there might be some points scored in this game. So I'm going to go the over in the game. Not by a large margin, but I think some points are going to be scored in this contest as well.
Well, I want to dive a little deeper because you know Carolina is one of my sleeper teams in the NFC, right? I actually like them over their win total of 7.5 this year. Also thinking, I went out on a limb, they could be a potential wild card in year number two with Matt Rhule at the helm. And they have good, solid backup quarterback play. You saw P.J. Walker. You saw Will Grier, the former standout for West Virginia, come in. They led their team in terms of scoring drives and moved the football. But how about big play wide receiver Terrace Marshall that stepped up last week for LSU, right? The burner for LSU, taken in the second round, I believe it was 35th overall. But if his emergence in that offense comes, especially early on, the way we saw Justin Jefferson hit the ground running in Minnesota, this could be a better offense, especially if Christian McCaffrey's healthy in 2021.
Well, I'll throw some cold water here. First of all, I don't see Sam Darnold breaking any wide receiver out here, and I'm not really all that hoo-ha over anybody had a great preseason week one. I think nobody's game planning for you. You know, no one's starting to stop you really all that much. They're trying to get their own work in there. So, well, you had a nice game, and it certainly was newsworthy, and it certainly caught my eye here. Until I really see it, and when teams care, when they're trying to stop you, you know, it's just something in the back of my head. We're going to see this a lot during preseason. Guys play, oh, look at this guy, look what he did. And then you never hear from him again. You know, they're on the back of a milk carton for the rest of the season. So, like I said, a little cold water on that. And I said, I just don't see Sam Darnold breaking anybody out. Also, they're going to score, you know, any wide receiver is going to have a big year for him. I just don't see it.
See, now, I disagree with that. And out of all the quarterbacks that we've talked about, the younger quarterbacks, right? We talked about Lamar. We talked about Tua. We also talked about the rookies and Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. When you look at Sam Darnold's total right now, I think it's very attainable. I mean, 3,850 and a half. So 3,851 gets you the over on FanDuel at minus 112. He has some playmakers, DJ Moore. If McCaffrey's healthy, now you throw in Terrace Marshall. You have Robbie Anderson. You're telling me that he can't surpass 38-51 with Teddy Bridgewater, who everybody bashes and hates. They still average close to around 280 passing yards per game. You're telling me that Sam Darnold in that offense with Joe Brady as his offensive coordinator and quarterback coach can't chuck for 4,000 yards this season?
He better be able to. But one thing about Darnold, he's another guy who has a hard time staying healthy, right? The odds of him playing 17 games probably isn't very good, you know, so you can't break it down that way. He better break it, because if not, Carolina doesn't have a chance to go anywhere. Once again, you're not asking anybody to do anything with four. Even on the 16 games, 4,000 yards should have been obtainable for most quarterbacks in today's game. Now with that 17th game, you have to. You have to be able to go over. But once again, the weapons are there, and I agree with you. You know, McCaffrey, odds are he'll be healthy. Love more. You know, they Robbie Anderson, him and Darnold already have chemistry together here. Tight end's a work in progress. Offensive line, maybe somewhat of a work in progress. But I like what the weapons he has here. I just don't trust Darnold. I know we can go back on, oh, the Jets were a mess. You know, the coach was terrible, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll give you that. But it's not all on them.
No, but he made some good plays. And I'm a Dolphin fan. You know, I hate
everybody makes some good plays. What does that mean?
But he made some quality throws last year. He really did, without a lot around him. I mean, think about that coaching staff for New York. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, when you throw in Adam Gase, that I still can't believe was a head coach in the NFL. He's a complete moron. I mean, he was a head coach in the NFL. He did nothing in terms of Sam Darnold's progression. And he was supposed to be a great offensive coordinator, right? He was supposed to be this great offensive mind. Their offense was predictable. They were terrible. Now, I will say this. You could bash Darnold all you want, But at the end of the day, he is going to play. If he's healthy, he's going to play 17 games. Because even if this team is in playoff contention, they're not resting, because I don't think they're a 14-win team. I think they are a potentially 10-win team. I really do. But at the end of the day, they're going to be playing down the stretch in the month of December. So Darnold's going to be out there getting his. So when you just think about yardage per game, 38-51, to me, seems pretty attainable. It seems something that I'm buying into in terms of that bet, especially when you look at it. Okay, they play in Carolina, fairly good weather. Sometimes you get the rain in terms of hurricane season, and sometimes it's a wet track. But outside of that, he should be able to chuck for 250 a game. That's easy in today's NFL.
Oh, agree. If you can't chuck for 250 a game, you probably can't play quarterback unless you're extremely athletic, a great running quarterback. You have to be able to do 250 a game. You have to. I mean, like I said, everything is set up in today's NFL for you to throw the football up and down the field. I don't have any doubt about that. And it's their schedule really opens up kind of nice for them when you think about it. You play the Jets. We know they have all sorts of issues. New Orleans, I mean, you know, divisional matchup be tough. But then you get to Houston. They're a train wreck. The Cowboys, it could be a high-scoring affair, but still, their defense, we think, isn't going to be very good. So, hey, should be points there. Before it gets a little tougher, you know, even Philadelphia's actually not all that tough. But Minnesota, Giants, and you get Atlanta. This schedule's not all that brutal. It's much tougher in the second half. This is where his problem is going to be. You know, when you start that second-half schedule, New England, Arizona, Washington, Miami, Buffalo, Tampa, New Orleans, Tampa. That's where it's very, very dicey. You do get an Atlanta thrown in there again. But that's where it's rough. That nine-game stretch where eight of the nine teams can play good teams, all legitimate playoff teams outside of Atlanta. So that's where he's going to run into trouble.
Well, we'll see. I'm on his over here. I feel pretty good about it. I really do. I'm trying to get a total in terms of Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. We talked about McCaffrey. I mean, the key to McCaffrey in terms of if you're banking on any total is, does he play at least 15 games?
Stay healthy.
Right. I mean, that's the I would not recommend Christian McCaffrey because for me, it doesn't look like his body can take up in terms of the NFL pounding. You know, he's a big kid. He's a physical specimen, but he's an inflated product. I mean, you could see he's a workout warrior, but at the end of the day, sometimes when you carry that 15 to 20 pounds of extra muscle, your frame just can't handle it. And I think that that's what we're seeing in terms of Christian McCaffrey. He's not this 6'2", 6'3", kid the way you look at Derrick Henry and you say that guy can carry 235. If Christian McCaffrey's carrying 215, 220 and his frame is basically only 200, you got a problem there. So I think that's the key to Carolina's success this year, but we'll see what transpires. When we come back, we'll be talking other preseason action. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
In the conversation and breakdowns of all the preseason games this weekend, big battle taking place in Heinz Field. You got the Detroit Lions on the road to face Big Ben and the Steelers. They're a 6.5-point underdog on FanDuel, -110 either way if you want to take the line. Back the Steelers total set at 37 and a hook, George. You know, Big Ben came out and said that he wants to get reps in this game. He wants to get reps. He wants to get the quarterback to wide receiver relationship going early on. Do you see that as a benefit? Now, we saw the game the other night in terms of New England and Philadelphia, where obviously Jalen Hurts didn't play. It's now two preseason games for Jalen Hurts. He only threw 2 of 7 passes, and this is still a young team with a new head coach. So can Big Ben afford the reps, or do you think it's a detriment in terms of maybe he potentially gets hurt or breaks down earlier throughout the season?
Well, I don't think I'd worry about him breaking down during the season because he took Raw a couple of series tonight. I think if I'm Tom, when it comes down to this, how much do I trust that offensive line? You know, if I don't think they can protect him yet and they still need, you know, the next 2-3 weeks to really get in shape, then I'm not playing him tonight. But if I think, hey, it's Detroit, you know, and you said big battle, does big battle in Detroit really go hand in hand?
Well, it's a Detroit's battle terrible. In the sense it's Dan Campbell, right?
Yeah,
he just cut the long snapper on his 40th birthday, and they were calling him, you know, basically an a-hole because he did that, right? That's exactly what happened. He cut the guy on his 40th birthday, and how could you do that, Dan? But he's knocking everybody down and taking names.
Do you think
you have to know? Come on. You're the head coach. You're telling me you don't know somebody within the organization. Go, Dan, it's the guy's 40th birthday. But at the end of the day, it's still a business. I mean, what are you going to do? If an NFL player is going to get his feelings hurt because it's his 40th birthday and he got cut, well, then he needs to take a look in the mirror and understand where he is as a player, because it's a business. We know that. And at the end of the day, you put the best player, you put the best product out there to perform and give your team an opportunity to win, especially an organization like the Detroit Lions that have been abysmal for how many years now? When's the last time the Detroit Lions actually had success? Right. So,
91?
I mean, exactly.
Seriously, is that it? 91? I think that's the answer.
When's the last time they had the face of the franchise? I mean, Barry Sanders, Billy Sims?
Barry Sanders, yeah.
I mean, you had Megatron, but at the end of the day, it's still a far cry. You had Stafford. You never put talent basically around him. Now he's in L.A., and now your hopes rest on Jared Goff and this rushing attack, which are they ever going to feed DeAndre Swift the ball? They're going to split time again with Jamal Williams. We don't know what this offense looks like, so you need to really hit the ground running in preseason, get as many young players developed in this ball game and the next one before you enter week number one. But when you look at the Steelers, there you can't just say, oh yeah, offense is good, Ben's healthy, we'll go out there, we'll put up 35 plus points. I think Tomlin has serious concerns with the offensive line. He has concerns with the consistency of the running game, even though Najee Harris is there. And I think that's a huge concern entering week one, and that's why I'm selling them this year.
I'm with you. I don't think the Steelers make the playoffs this year. I don't. I think they've got all sorts of issues. I think you're absolutely right about the offensive line. I think it's a big problem, probably their biggest problem. You know, can they rely on that line? Is Ben going to have time to throw? Can they open up holes for more Najee Harris? And my guess would be not in the first half of the season. I think it's going to take some time to gel here. We heard Ben say this a couple weeks ago in an interview, that he had worries about the offensive line. And that's what it comes down to. If I'm Tomlin, the only way I play Ben tonight is if I truly believe he's going to get protection. He's not going to get hit. If not, if I don't believe that, then I'm not playing him. You know, or maybe I play, he takes one hit and he's out. That's it. Next. You know, that's what you have Rudolph for on the team. You know, because you can't have Ben get hurt. I have doubts with his arm. I think his arm was going to get weaker and weaker as the season goes on, just like we saw last year.
I agree with that.
At the end of the year, he couldn't throw. He couldn't throw. It was sad. It was almost sad. It's almost like you or I, just floating balls up there. And it was lag. He was throwing up punts. They were caught generally. It was amazing how his teams were catching. It let you know how open they were. But he was throwing up punts because he had no zip on the ball at all. I think that probably happens again this season.
Well, their total now 8.5 on FanDuel, plus 110 to the over. If you're taking the under, it's minus 130. I like the under bet. Again, you saw the progression at the end of the year. They were a one-trick pony. All they could do is throw the football. Now, Ben's total this year is in the area of about 3,900. I will say this. I do feel he gets there because I don't think the offensive line is there. I don't know if Najee Harris is going to be this running back, and I love Najee Harris, but I don't think he's going to get 80 to 100 yards per game to take the pressure off of Big Ben. I still think they're going to be in predictable long third down situations, and I think they could struggle in that area. Now, when you look at the wide receiver corps, Chase Claypool, right? You have Juju. Now, James Washington has come out. He's been vocal, and he said he wants out. And I can't blame him when you look at that crowded wide receiver core. Where could he possibly go? I was thinking about if they make a trade for him, with his type of speed, with his type of physical attributes, wouldn't he be a great fit in New Orleans in terms of that wide receiver group without Michael Thomas? I mean, James Washington would solidify it a little bit for Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill.
Oh, agreed. I think you named the perfect team. The perfect team would be New Orleans, right? It makes sense on so many levels. You already named it. New Orleans, they have no wide receivers, right? So they would really take anybody. Anybody.
They need speed, right?
They need to stretch the defense. They need to get that defense off the line of scrimmage. Get away from Kamara. Even when Thomas returns, get away from him too. And Washington would be great that way. Plus, if you're Pittsburgh, well, if you trade him to New Orleans, and listen, there's been no rumors here. I haven't heard anything. We're just throwing up the team here. You get him out of the AFC, right? So you're only going to see him once every 4 years. Even if he develops into a great wide receiver, which I have my doubts. I think he would be. I think he's a guy who's useful, you know, but he has a certain, you know, a certain skill set, and that's what you use him for. So, yes, I think that makes sense. You can make an argument for Washington. He would make sense there, that they could use someone like that as well. Almost every team could use his talent level.
How about Seattle?
He's sort of a Lockett type. I don't think Seattle would go for him.
No, I don't think he's like a Lockett type. He's a sprinter. You know, that was his game at Oklahoma State. Exactly. So wouldn't it be beneficial to have James Washington on the opposite side of DK Metcalf? I mean,
it would be beneficial for every team to have him. Every team would love to have him.
I wish Miami had assets. But if you're Pittsburgh, you realistically have to look at where you're going to move him. Yeah.
And, Detroit and Green Bay could both go for it here. I'm looking at other teams here. Probably nobody there. Nope, they got somebody. San Fran.
No, I don't know if that's a good fit. I don't know if they would deal for him. I don't think they would deal for him in any way. I think it's definitely an NFC team that they move him to or try to move him to. You don't want to bring any type of player. But
what does he go for? That's also the next question. What does Pittsburgh think they're going to get for him?
Four or five?
That's the best you're going to get, right? That would be out of the high end, a four or five.
Okay.
So
right.
Tough. Maybe I think it's tough for Pittsburgh to eat that.
Yeah.
Six. I'd pay
a six. We'll see.
I would pay a six with no problem.
I tell you what, I'm going to take the 6.5 with Detroit here, plus 230 on the money line. Dan Campbell, I mean, total's a little bit high at 37.5, but I'm going to take the line. Now, they look terrible in their preseason game. Pittsburgh has looked good. They've looked really good early on. I think that number is based solely on them playing an extra game up until this point. I'm going to take Detroit. I pulled the trigger, taking Detroit plus the 6.5, 230. We'll see how that one plays out a little bit later over the weekend. Let's talk about your Cowboys. 3.5-point favorites over the Houston Texans. We know the Texans are in complete disarray. Davis Mills got his feet wet last week, played well. We have Tyrod Taylor there. Dallas isn't going to play Dak. They're not going to play a lot of their starters here. Minus 175 on the money line on FanDuel. Total set at a flat 37. Minus 105 to the over. Minus 115 to the under. Cully is a terrible coach. I know McCarthy doesn't step up in terms of preseason, but you got to step up here. They got to cover this 3.5. I'm taking Dallas in this ballgame.
Boy, you got guts. I know Houston's a bad team no matter when or where you're playing them, but Dallas not playing anybody. They're not playing anybody. You've seen they've looked ugly in a couple of preseason games. Ugly.
But they played well. They played well against Arizona. They played well against Pittsburgh. Even though Pittsburgh dominated them in the end, for the first half and even in the second half, they were balling out. They were flying around to the football. Looked like they were enthused to at least try and
win. The defense played well. The offense is crap.
Right. Okay. But if the defense, second and third teamers do play like that again, I like their talent way more than I like the Houston Texans in this ballgame.
I like the under. I do like the under a lot. I think even he's going to score all that much. It's probably the Cowboy fan. That's the first couple. It's Houston. I certainly am not betting on Houston. All right, that's never going to happen. So I do agree that I lean to Dallas, but I like the under a lot more.
Yeah, we'll see. Are you buying in? I know you're a Cowboy fan. I shouldn't even be asking you this, but I do feel they get to their 9.5 win total on FanDuel. It's plus 115 to the over. Are you confident enough that, you know what, I don't care about injuries. I don't care about the shoulder for Dak. I'm all in on this year. It's boom or bust with Mike McCarthy. Yes, they win the division. Yes, they get over their 9.5 this year.
You can tell you don't know me enough. You think I'm a Cowboy homer. As most people will tell you, I'm actually the anti... I don't know how you can trust Dallas. I don't know how. All right, we've seen this movie before. We've seen it many times before. All this hope. It's going to be great. That never works out. What are they over the last 20 years? They're always a 500 team. Maybe they get to it, but I have my doubts. I don't trust the defense. If the number's right, I'm not touching it.
Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, breaking down all the preseason action in week number 2, going through the list and the schedule right now. You know, a team that we really haven't talked a lot about during the offseason is Seattle and Russell Wilson. I just feel like this team is under the radar right now. We know about the offensive line issues in terms of that derailed their playoff run. That's why they lost at home to LA last year in Cam Akers. But I still think this, in my opinion, the best team in the NFC West. They are a 5.5-point underdog at home to the Denver Broncos this weekend, right here on FanDuel. Minus 105 for Denver, minus 115 for Seattle, under and over set at 37 and a hook. But I got to be honest with you. I'm liking Seattle in this ballgame as an underdog, a home underdog here, but I also feel that teams are selling short this team. We've heard about, you know, Matt Stafford and the L.A. Rams, Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, whoever starts is going to lead their team to the promised land. And Russell Wilson, Mr. Dangerous, is just sitting back going, okay, all I do is just, you know, toss touchdowns and lead my team to victories. 12-4 last year. He's got DK Metcalf back in that lineup. If they can get the running game consistent with Chris Carson, I know you don't like him because he puts the football on the ground, but if he's consistent, this offense could be explosive this year in 2021, George.
Well, what I think is with the new offensive coordinator, they're going to put the ball in the air more. They're going to finally let Russell Wilson cook. Let the man play. So I agree with you. I think they will score more points this year. And I think that's, once again, I always think that's been the OC's problem. They always have to run, sort of protect the defense somewhat or trust their defense, whatever it might be. But when you got a quarterback like Russell Wilson, you let the man play. Let him play.
But why are people so down on him? Can you say he's an 8-time Pro Bowler? Can you give me an idea about why? Like, we hear about Rodgers, we hear about all the other quarterbacks. Why everybody's down on the Seattle Seahawks in 2020? I just don't see it. This team won the division last year.
I don't know if I'd say anybody's down on Seattle. I think, they're not talking about it, which you sort of hinted at, and I agree with you. They're not, because it's boring to talk about them. We know they're good. You know, so we want to talk the new team. Who's going to be the new team? They are. You know, because they have all those superstars. Not a lot of depth at all the superstars. Seattle's the same team. Wilson, Carson, Metcalf, Lockett, same guys. Well, they stole a Ram and Everett, but same guys. And it's not fun to talk about them. I think it happens in a lot of sports with a lot of teams that we get bored of talking about certain teams over and over again, especially the very good ones. It's just boring. We want to talk about the new sexy team here. You know, you want to talk about the Rams at Stafford. You want to talk about the Cardinals because, hey, if they implode again, hey, maybe Kingsbury's gone. Right, San Fran, all the injuries are back. What's going to happen with Garoppolo and Trey Lance? It's more fun to talk about those teams, where with Seattle, it's all status quo. So you're right. They are sort of, we're not talking about them as much because there's not much to talk about here, but they're still a very good team. They're certainly a playoff team. Does it shock me if they win with division? No, not at all. You know, they're going to get the playoffs. I have very little doubt about that. And I think the offense, to your point, will be much more, you want to use the word explosive, fine, score more points, whatever way you want to put it. I think they will light up the scoreboard more because of the change in offensive coordinator, where they won't be looking to run the ball on third and six.
Well, here's when you look at their win total on FanDuel, they're 10, and it's minus 10 one either way. I think this is so light. This is one of my best bets in terms of preseason win totals, because you're telling me a team 12-4 last year that has the best quarterback in the division, and you want to put Stafford up against Russell Wilson that won a Super Bowl, took his team to another Super Bowl? Are you kidding me? It's you're comparing apples to oranges. I just don't see it in terms of his game. He is a complete quarterback. He drops the ball in on a dime. He makes those players around him better. He's mobile. He always, when the game is on the line, you want Matt Stafford leading your offense or you want Russell Wilson? You tell me. You survey 1,000 people, 990 of them are saying they want Russell Wilson. So when you're talking about just divisional odds, I mean, the best team in the division from a quarterback perspective, and they're catching positive money? Are you kidding me? Give me over 10. I like them as well, 20-1 to win the Super Bowl this year.
Don't mind. Listen, Seattle's a good team. Said good team. No problem with it at all. You're certainly not getting Stafford as due. You act like he's just a nothing quarterback.
No, but the guy never won a playoff game. He never won a playoff game, George. We're going to compare Matt Stafford to Russell Wilson?
What team did he play for? Oh, Detroit.
But it doesn't matter. What team did Russell Wilson play for? Wait a second.
It matters.
Okay, but Russell Wilson made that team who they are right now. When he took over at the helm, you can't say this was a train in motion and they just inputted Russell Wilson into the starting lineup and, oh yeah, Seattle just goes to the Super Bowl. I mean, come on. I mean, if we're talking about making those players around him better, taking the pressure off the offensive line by his ability to improvise and make first downs with his legs, that's all Russell Wilson. And his touch, you don't think he has a better touch than Matt Stafford?
Once again, you're ignoring the point here. You keep talking about Russell Wilson. Matthew Stafford is a very, very good quarterback. There's no argument about Wilson. Wilson's great. Right? You told I'm the guy who can't believe Wilson hasn't won an MVP yet. It's kind of ridiculous that he hasn't been won that. I'm the guy who keeps saying over and over again how it was amazing for Seattle for a couple of years. They've since fixed this. But the game plan in the huddle was pretty much like Wilson would go, listen, I'm going to go here, then I'm going to run around for about 3-4 seconds behind the line of scrimmage until somebody gets open, then I'll find you and hit you. Because he had no offensive line and not really all that many weapons here. Now, they have fixed that, but I love Russell Wilson. Probably one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch. That being said, you're making Stafford sound like he's a bum. He's a
good quarterback
who never had much around him in Detroit. In
Detroit, he had Megatron.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
He had a whole
We can say that with anybody.
They
was a one. He had nothing. If you're going to try and make Detroit sound like a good organization, good luck to you.
No, I'm not saying it's a good organization, but what I'm saying is...
It's a bad organization. They don't try to win. They don't get it right. They haven't forever, which is why they haven't done anything in 31 years. There's no argument here what the better organization is. It's helped Wilson immensely. They care. They hire the right coach. Pete Carroll is the reason why he's been there forever. They get the right guy. Detroit's going on what? Their eighth coach in 8 years? Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous what they do. They probably did have the right guy once and called, well, and let him go too soon. You know, so like I said, Stafford's a good quarterback.
All right, so hang on. So let me ask you this then. If Stafford goes out with that defense and with all the playmakers and the mad scientist Sean McVay, right, in L.A., and he goes out and this team goes, let's say, 10-7, 11-6, and they bow out first game of the playoff, could we then say Matt Stafford is a good quarterback? He's a compiler? That's all he is? Because that's what his career is. Well,
he's not
I mean, he's a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback.
I watched him his whole career in Athens. I've watched him since college. So I've watched Matt Stafford develop. Has a strong arm, can make every throw. But at the end of the day, you get judged by wins and losses. Yeah, at the end of the day, when you're on a playoff caliber team that has one of the best defenses in the NFL, you need to step up. So there are no excuses for Matt Stafford now. But everybody's just anointing him and giving him the division crown because he's on a better team.
Well, once again, as I just explained before, it's the new toy. They got the, they're a very top-heavy team, the Rams. And that'll determine how far they go, by the way. If their top eight guys all stay healthy, they're a very dangerous team. You take out one or two, if they get hurt, COVID, whatever it might be, they're probably in a lot of trouble. They don't have a lot of depth. You know, that's the way they built this team. They're trying to make a Super Bowl run here. That's why they keep trading all these number one picks to get established stars, what they want to do. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't here. My whole point is this. Does it shock me if Seattle wins the division? Not at all. You know, Rams, not at all. It wouldn't really shock me if San Fran wins the division. All right, because they're healthy and that defense is great. So none of this would surprise me. It's a very rough division. If you're going to go the overs here on any of these teams, what are you hoping for as far as their division alone? You're praying for a 4-2, and that may not, that's going to be very difficult. I could, you know, Seattle, maybe they go 3-3 in the division. Doesn't mean anything, but they play very tough divisional schedule here. And then you have to look at the rest of that schedule. You want to go the over 10.5, it's rough. It's not a gimme to me, not at all. Plus, you throw COVID into the mix, the teams get that. So I won't be betting the over win totals on any team in this division. I just think it's the best division in football. It's going to take its toll. And, you know, I would look very hard at their schedule outside of the division to see what you truly think they can get.
Well, you mentioned the 10.5. That's the total set for L.A. on FanDuel, plus 120 to the over. You mentioned the division. San Fran is in the driver's seat at plus 190. You have the Rams at plus 200, Seattle at plus 280, and Arizona at plus 600. And that's what I mean by disrespect. You're telling me the best quarterback in the division, Russell Wilson, in that offense is plus 280 on FanDuel. I'll take it any day of the week. What has San Francisco shown you in terms of their quarterbacks? Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo got you there, but there's no guarantee Trey Lance or Garoppolo are going to rebound in a big way just because the defense is better. Same thing with Matt Stafford. You have a guy that has done it and carried this team over the past 5 or 6 years in Russell Wilson, and you're telling me he's third best on the list?
Well, it's not all about the quarterback. It's also about the team. That being said, I would take, for value, you're going with Seattle. I mean, there's no doubt you're going with Seattle there. But here's the other problem with Seattle. This schedule is brutal. It is brutal. I mean, they open up against, I know you hate Carson Wentz, but they open up in Indianapolis. It's a very good Indianapolis team. Granted, if it's not Wentz playing, even if it is Wentz playing, Seattle's a damn good chance of winning. But still, on the road in Indianapolis, Tennessee, at Minnesota, at San Fran, Rams at home, at Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and Mike Towns will be back by then. They should have things figured out on a Monday night game. Wow. That's a rough opening seven. Then you get Jacksonville. You're going to get a break in Jacksonville. You get pretty much a two-week bye. You get Jacksonville and a bye week. And then you go Green Bay, Arizona, Washington, San Fran. You get another bye week in Houston. And you get the Rams again. The end, actually, your ending is kind of nice. The last three games, Chicago, Detroit, Arizona. That's a brutal schedule, bro. That's a brutal schedule. I'll give them, you know, they're a good team. I'll give them the 10, but I don't think they can win the division with that schedule. I just don't.
All right, I'm going to take it. Plus 280 for me on Seattle. We'll see. George doesn't like them. Your pick for the division is L.A., right, since Stafford?
I'm looking at their schedule now.
Don't backtrack. You can't backtrack. I'm not allowing
sure
it.
No, the information changes all the time. We can back. Suppose you love the Jets. Now you may not like them yesterday with the loss. Of course you can backtrack. That's what we do.
Backtracking.
What are you supposed to do?
George, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be convicted. You're supposed to be locked and loaded 2 feet in the foxhole on your pick. Come on. All right, go. Break it down in terms of that game.
Rams' schedule is easier. I'm not backtracking. This is probably why I had them at first. Their schedule is easier. It's just easier. I mean,
all right.
I'm gonna stick with the Rams. I like Seattle. I'm not against Seattle, but that schedule is brutal. I just went over it. It's just brutal.
All right, let's get through a couple rapid fire. We got Las Vegas on the road as a 6.5-point favorite over the L.A. Rams, under and over set at 35, minus 110 either way, minus 270 on the Raiders. Are you buying in to John Gruden and the crew that did get the victory over Seattle last weekend?
Oh, sure, why not? I mean, listen, I think the Raiders have more to prove. I guess you can go with this. You know, and I don't trust Gruden really all that much as far as a head coach. I know he's done some magical things, but what have you done for me lately? Done nothing here. I'll pass. By the way, one thing I meant to mention about Denver, there's a lot of news that Drew Locke's going to win that job. Unless he falls apart here, the job is his. I don't think he's actually earned it, per se, but I think Denver, once again, they want to find out about him. He's going to start the season for them.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Bears, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, right here on FanDuel. Minus 110 either way. If you love the Rams, they're minus 335 on the money line, under and over, set at 45 right now, George. I don't think there's any way the Bears have a shot in this game. Matt Nagy, as much as I just bash Matt Stafford and the crew, you have to come out. You have to dominate this game. You have it in front of you. I think they win this ball game by double digits. I'm not buying into Chicago. I think they're a one-trick pony as well. Horrible coach. He's out next year. Give me Sean McVay and the crew week number one over the Bears.
Yeah, I'm with you here. All I know is this is a Sunday night game. Please, I don't want to watch Dalton for 3 hours. Just let it be Fields. Please,
they're going to bury him. They are going to bury Andy. He's one hit away. If he starts the season, he's one hit away from being put into the old age home in Boca. That's basically where Andy Dalton is right now. I mean, really, if you're actually sitting in your office, Matt Nagy, and contemplating whether you should start Andy Dalton or Justin Fields, I don't know. He needs medication. I'm serious. It's unbelievable that they could actually be going through this thought process.
I agree. Listen, Aaron Donald's going to introduce himself to the man. I really want it to be Fields. I don't want it to be Dalton. I will be giving serious consideration to the under here. If it's Dalton, I'll almost certainly be going to the under. You know, the Chicago has a good defense. I don't think they're going to get blown out, per se, by giving up 34 points. I think they could lose by double digits, as you said, but I think it could be 20-7, you know, 24-10, something like that. So I'll be giving seriously consideration to the under if it is Dalton.
We'll see. If you want to take a shot and pull the trigger on Matt Nagy and the crew, they're going to give you a plus 270 on the money line. That's an intriguing bet. I will say this. Baltimore now only a 4.5-point favorite week one over the Raiders. We're going to be here every week. For George Kurtz, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.